It's very exciting to start a new Zman. For those of you who are new to the Shir, they're welcome. We study here each week topics in Machshava. We study Sugyos. And today we're going to begin the Sugya of Emuna. It's an especially appropriate week to discuss this, as it's Parshas Yisro. And in Parshas Yisro, we have the mitzvah of Emunah, at least to the extent that it is a mitzvah, which is something we'll discuss shortly. The Rambam counts Anochi as one of the Taryag mitzvos. This is presented in Sefer HaMitzvos, which we'll see later, but instead we're going to start with his explanation in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which is the first Makor that the first Makor that you have over here on page 1. So let's read this together. Yisod ha-yisodos ve'amud ha-chachmos leida shiyesham matsui rishon. So the fundamental thing that we all have to know, it's interesting, this we've all studied many Rambams. Not everyone gets frequently, you don't study the Yisod HaYisodos. Aleph, 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 number one. So what is it? Leida. So the first word to take note of is that the Rambam uses the word Yedia. He doesn't say Lahamin over here, but to know. We'll discuss what that means. So Leida, to know that Shiesha Matsui Rishon, there's a first being, V'humam Tzi Kol Nimtza, and he is the cause for all that exists. V'chol nimtzaim, it's interesting, he doesn't use the word bore. We can talk about that also shortly. V'chol nimtzaim mishamayim v'aretz u'mashe b'neim lo nimtzu ela mamitas himatz'o. And all that exists only because of the truth of his existence. The word MS here is interesting. We'll also return to that in just a moment, what he means by MS. V'im yaleh al hadat shehu eino matzui, should a person conceive of or imagine that he doesn't exist, ein davar acher yachol himatzos, then nothing else can exist. V'im yaleh al hadat she'ein kol hanimtzaim milvado mitzuyim, and even if you were to imagine that everything else doesn't exist, Hulavado yematui, he alone would still exist. The lo yivatel hulavitulam, and their negation would not cause his negation. What the Rambam here is essentially saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a necessary being. What do we mean by necessary? Necessary meaning to say he must exist, or if you want to put it differently, he consists in all possible worlds. This table that I'm knocking on now, it exists. At least, perhaps it exists, but I'm going to assume for the time being that the table exists. But it's not a necessary existence, meaning to say it happens to exist. There was a time when it didn't exist. There will likely be a time where it will not exist. It doesn't have to exist, but it just does exist. God's existence, the same thing is true for me. I happen to exist, but I don't have to exist. The existence of God, the Rambam says, is necessary. It has to be that way. It's inconceivable otherwise. And that's what the Rambam is saying over here. And what the Rambam is about to say in a moment is that that's what the Rambam means when he says that the truth of his existence is different than the truth of anything else that exists. What does it mean that it's more true? If it's true, it's true. If it's not true, it's not true. What the Rambam means is that it's a necessary truth. It has to be that way. So let's continue reading. Lefikach, ein amitaso, ke'amitas achad mayhem. The truth of his existence, namely the necessary truth, is not like the truth of any other existence, because all other existences are accidental truths. whereas the truth of his existence is a necessary truth. Hu shanavi omer v'Hashem Elokim emes. Hu levado emes v'ein lacher emes ke'amitaso. That he alone is true in the sense of being a necessary truth, as opposed to all other things that exist. Vu shatora omeres ein od milvado. Kilomar ein sham matzui emes milvado kamosa. What do we mean when we say ein od milvado? Does that mean to say that nothing else exists at all? No. Other things do exist, but nothing else is a necessary existence. Everything else that exists depends on his existence and his willing it to exist, as opposed to his existence, which is necessary. So therefore, in a sense, ein od milvado, there is nothing besides him. There's no necessary existence besides his. Hamatsuya zeh. So the Rambam has not used the word God. He said that he's described a first being or a primary being. This primary being, which is responsible for the existence of all else that exists, is Hu Eloka HaOlam, Adon Kol HaAretz. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is Eloka. We'll define that word shortly. Adon Kol HaAretz, the master over the land. V'hu HaManhig HaGalgal. He's not just the God that exists, but he's a manhig. We'll also return to that word shortly. He's manhig agalgal bekoach she'en lo ketz v'tachlis. He is responsible for the revolving of the spheres. We talked about what that meant in the first semester. With a power that is unending and infinite, bekoach she'en lo hefsek she'agalgal sovev tamid. What does tamid mean? We'll also return to that. V'efshar she'yasuv b'lo misavev. In other words, if the spheres are rotating, in a sense, in our terminology, we would say if there's movement, if there's energy, if there's things that are happening in our world, so there must be a cause for that energy. There can't be a sovev without a misavev. So if there's existence, there must be a cause for that existence. If there's energy, there must be a source. And what is that source? That source is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu Baruch Hu ha-misavev oso, b'lo yad, v'lo guf. He causes these rotations without any corporeality. Meaning to say, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a totally non-physical existent, nevertheless, he is the cause for physical existence and all that happens within the physical existence, which is a mysterious thing. And again, perhaps we'll return to that as well. V'yadiyas davar zeh, mitzvah saseh, knowing all that we just said, is a mitzvah saseh, shenemar anochi Hashem Elokecha. So how is it that anochi Hashem Elokecha shows that it is a mitzvah asay to believe in these things? In other words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha just says, I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. Where do we see in the words Anochi that God is all these things and that knowing these things is a mitzvah? So the Rambam doesn't spell it out. The Ramban, though, does, and I think it's likely the Rambam more or less would agree to this, though we'll note a little difference. The Ramban could be found on the supplemental source sheet that I gave you on the top right. Hadibur harishon, hadibur hazeh mitzvah saseh, amar anochi Hashem. So the Ramban, like the Rambam, maintains that anochi is a mitzvah. Though in the Sefer Mitzvos, the Ramban defends the Bahag's view not to count Anochi as a mitzvah, in the Perushal HaTorah, he presents his own position, and that is, like the Rambam, that Anochi is a mitzvah saseh. Yoreh v'yitzaveh osam, shiyedu v'yaminu k'yesh Hashem. What is the nature of this mitzvah? What is it commanding? Because, of course, the formulation of the Torah is not Balashon Tzivoy. It doesn't say you're commanded to know or to believe that I am Hashem, but nevertheless it's understood to be a Tzivoy. We'll see how it's known that it's understood to be a Tzivoy. Notice, by the way, how the Ramban writes Shiyedu via Aminu. He uses the words Yediyah and Emunah, as opposed to the Rambam, at least the Rambam that we've seen so far, who only uses the words Yediyah. We'll get back to what that means. So Shiyedu via Aminu ki yesh Hashem v'hu Elokim lahem kilomar hove kadmon meito haya kol b'chefet v'yecholas. So, Anochi Hashem teaches me the following. Anochi Hashem, so we have to, first of all, figure out what the word Hashem means. So Hashem means Hayahoveh V'yiyah. At least that's the meaning that's conveyed through the spelling, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The pronunciation conveys Adnos. These meanings are Me'akev to some degree in Tefillah. In other words, when you say at least Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you have to have in mind what Hashem means. What does Yud Kei Vav mean? It means Adon Kol and Hayahu Vaviyah. Whether you have to have that in mind for all Azkaros or just Shema, there's a Machlokes. Take a look at the Gra, Rabbeinu Yonah and the like, and Or HaChaim, Siman Hei. But the point is that Anochi Hashem, so the word Hashem is telling us Hayahu Vaviyah, which effectively is what the Rambam is referring to when he means that he's the Matsui Rishon, he's a necessary being, and therefore he always exists. So Anochi Hashem is telling us, is referring to God's necessary being. The Rambam continues, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Elokecha adds an additional dimension, V'hu Elokim Lahem, V'hu Elokim Lahem, Shechayavim La'avodoso. So this is something that we didn't see in the Rambam. The first statement, that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, indicates the knowledge and belief that God exists and is a necessary existence, and everything exists because of His willing it to exist, that we saw in the Rambam. What the Ramban adds is Elokecha, the word Elokim, also implies something additional, namely Chayavim La'avodoso. That our relationship to Him is that of His being our Elokim. So Anochi Hashem, God exists, He's a necessary existence, Elokecha, moreover you should serve Him. And the Ramban continues with how the continuation of the Pasuk relates to this. Again, this you don't see in the Rambam. V'amar, Asher hotzeisicha me'aretz Mitzrayim, ki hotzasam misham Torah al hametzios v'al hachefetz. God's taking us out of Egypt indicates not only that He exists, but He has a ratzon, that He has a chefetz, that He's involved in the world. The nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim demonstrate that. The gam Torah al-chidush, as the Ramban famously says at the end of Parshas Bo, the idea of God's involvement in the world, performing Nisim, predicting those Nisim, is a reflection of God's having created the world, because Nisim are only possible if God is the creator, as the Rambam explains. Nisim, at least from the perspective of the eternity of matter, are impossible, at least in an Aristotelian conception. Ki im kadmon ha'olam lo yishtana davar mitivo. He's saying if the matter was eternal, so then nothing would naturally change from its nature. V'torah l'yecholas, v'yecholas torah l'yichud, k'mo she'amar bavur teida ki ein kamoni b'kol ha'aretz. These are the psukim that are describing the purpose, the function of the makos. V'zeh tam asher tzeisicha, ki hem hayodim v'edim b'chol eila. In other words, the Ramban here is saying that Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Nisim associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim are a demonstration of God's necessary existence, His oneness, His having created the world, and the like. And then, the Tami Beis Avadim, Shayu Omdim B'Mitzrayim B'Veis Avadim, shvuyim leparo v'amar lahem zeh shehem chayavin shiyah Hashem agadol v'anechbad v'anora hazeh lahem leilokim. So the basis of our obligation to serve him is also rooted in his having taken us out from Egypt. Kupadau sam avdus Mitzrayim, ketam avadai hem asher tzeisi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's why Hashem, that's why the asher tzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim is in Anochi, because Anochi is not just about God's existence, but about our responsibility to serve him. And an aspect of the basis of that obligation is Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'kramarsti od lamala tam shnei Hashemos hakadoshim al derech emes. So that's the meaning of Hashem Elokecha on a level of pshat, and al pisod he explained elsewhere. Just finished the Ramban. V'zu hamitzvah tikra b'divrei rabbeinu kabbalas ol malchus shamayim ki amilos ha'ela asher hizkarti hem b'melech. In other words, we usually think of Shema Yisrael as Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, which it is, but Anochi is also a reflection of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So again, it's not just this theological truth of his existence, but it implies our responsibility to accept that Malchus Shemayim. The Kach Amru B'Mechilta, which you have at the bottom of your page also. We'll just read the Mechilta inside at the bottom. Mipnei ma lo namru aseres adibros betchilas haTorah. Mashlu mashlu ma davar doma lechad shenichnas b'medina amr lahem em lo chalechem. Amru lo, klum asisa lanu tova shetim lo chalenu. Ma asa, bana lahem esachoma, hechnes lahem esamayim, asa lahem milchamos, v'amr lahem em lo chalechem. Amru lo, hein v'hein, kach hamakom hotzi es Yisrael mimitzrayim, Kara lohem es hayam, horid lohem es haman, halo lohem es habe'er, higiz lohem es haslav, asa lohem milchem es amalek, amar lohem emloch aleichem, amulo hein vehein. The truth is that the Ramban here alludes to two aspects of our responsibility to serve him. Number one is his being God by definition, and number two, based off of what he's done to us. Certainly, his having created us, but even more, his having taken us from Egypt, and the like. V'nemru kol adibros kul. Okay. Good. So that's the way the Ramban understands Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the Rambam, though he doesn't elaborate on all of these points, also understands that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, at the very least, demands that we know of his necessary existence. So, just to summarize, what do we see in the Rambam? What does Anochi, what exactly does Anochi demand of us? So, number one, that there is a first being. Number two, who brought everything into existence, Manzi Kol Nimtza. Number three, that all other existence are contingent, and he alone is necessary. Number four, the Rambam shows how various psukim express this truth, like Hashem Elokim Emes and Ein Od Milvado. Number five, the Rambam expressed this negatively as well, meaning to say if you could imagine he doesn't exist, nothing else could possibly exist. And finally, the Rambam says that this is a mitzvah saseh, that Anochi, Hashem Elokecha, tells us that we must know all these things. Yeah, you had a question? That's the meaning of the word. The letters of the word convey that meaning of Hayahovah V'yeh. And that's why when one says the Shem Havayah, one should be Mechavein to Hayahovah V'yeh. That's the meaning of the word. That's what the word, or at least on its basic level, is meant to convey. And so when it says Anochi Hashem, it's referring to God's existence as a Hayahovah V'yeh, as a necessary and eternal being. No. Well, it's a good ha'ara. Maybe we'll return to that. But for now, we'll say again what's paskin in Shulchan Aruch, which is that it's hayah hoveh v'yeh. It's It's past, present, and future. Obviously, the terms past, future, and even present are imprecise with respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who exists outside of time. So it refers to our perspective on his existence, meaning to say the perspective of ours which exists from within time. But that's why the Rambam puts it more precisely as saying it's a necessary existent and the cause for all existence, as opposed to formulating it with respect to time, which is to some degree imprecise. Okay, so we noted the word yediya, that the Rambam stresses that knowing this is the mitzvah. He says it at the beginning, at the end also, v'yediya stavar zeh mitzvah saseh. Now, what exactly is meant by yediya? When the Rambam says you have to know this, what does knowledge mean? What does knowing mean? Does knowing mean proving? So the Rambam actually does prove all of these things that he said in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. In the Mor Nevuchim, he actually has four proofs for the existence of God. Hopefully we'll get to them shortly. Here he alludes to one of the proofs, but yediya doesn't necessarily mean or demand proof. Perhaps the ideal way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Anochi is through proving, but yediya simply means knowledge. So if a person has certain knowledge of God's existence and his necessary existence, so one has fulfilled the mitzvah of Anochi. Now the way, or one way to come to that knowledge, and perhaps the ideal way to come to that knowledge, is through proof, though he doesn't say it's a mitzvah lehochiach, he says it's a mitzvah leida. Now what's the significance of the word leida, though? It's interesting. If you look at the Sefer HaMitzvos, the formulation, you have this also here on page 1 towards the bottom, mitzvah rishona mimitzvos asei. Sorry, a mitzvah rishona hi hatzivoy lehamin ha'elokos v'ushanamin sheisham Allah v'siba hu po'el l'chol hanimtzaim v'hu amro yisporach anochi Hashem elokacha. So here the Rambam uses the word lehamin, to believe in God's existence, that he's the cause for all other existence. So is that significant? The truth is that the translation over here is from the Ibn Tibbon translation. If you look at the Rav Kapach translation or Rav Chaim Heller translation, they translate Sefer HaMitzvos also as Leida, in which case it would be consistent with Mishneh Torah, also consistent with the formulation in the Koteret, which you have here at the top of page 2. Mitzvah Rishona Mimitzvah Saseh Leida Sheyesham Eloka Shenemar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So in the Rambam's formulations that he wrote in Hebrew, the Rambam consistently uses the words Leida, which again certainly lends support to the Rav Kapach's and Rav Heller's translation, though it is interesting, there are times that the Rambam defines a mitzvah differently in, let's say, the Sefer HaMitzvos and Mishneh Torah. Those of you learning Perek Ben Sorah Mora now, if you take a look at the formulation there, you'll see a striking difference. Other mitzvahs as well. Take a look at Tshuva and the like. But the Pashup Shad is that the Rambam, the more correct translation, is Leida. Now, just to say, it's not... The Arabic could be translated either way as Leida or Lahamin. The question is, what was Rambam's exact intent? As we noted, the Ramban says, uses the word both yediya and emuna. What's the difference between yediya and emuna? So there's an interesting piece on this Ramban that I saw in Rav Shach, Navi Ezri, on page 2, you have over here. He assumes the Ibn Tibbon translation and assumes that there's a need for both of them. But what's interesting is how he translates the two different terms. He says, that he asked this question to the Briska Rav, and the Briska Rav says that he also was perplexed by this idea, and he asked his father, Reb Chaim, and he shows that this idea is also found in the Beis Halevi. But essentially, what Reb Chaim said was that the term Yedia relates to things that you can know and understand, and the term Emuna refers to something which you can't understand. The Lashon over here, if you take a look, V'sha'alti yazos l'maran hagon hagadol Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik v'amr li shagam hu amar al zev v'shal zos lavev hagrach zatzal v'amr lo shevadai ad kama shesechel ha'adam magas hu muskal v'ein zu emuna ela yediya. It's interesting, Reb Nachman has a similar phrase. He writes that b'makom asher sham gvulo shel ha'seichel sham maschila emuna. Emuna believes where seichel ends, which is basically what Reb Chaim was saying. It's not every day that you see Reb Chaim and Reb Nachman using the same formulation. Anyhow, so what's the idea? So the way Reb Chaim said it was that the human intellect is limited by time and space, and therefore, we can know that God exists. But our emuna about what God is, our emuna is about what God is. We can say God is HaYehovah V'yiyah, is a necessary existent, is beyond space and time, and the like. But the term emuna isn't, the term yediya isn't appropriate in that context, because that's not something we could really know, because it's not something we could understand or relate to. To some degree, we could relate to it. We could say, yes, we exist within time, God exists outside of time, he's the cause for time and the like. But it's also not something that we could fully wrap our heads around. And therefore, Reb Shach claims that there's both a need for yediya and emuna. They're both necessary, which is why he claims the Rambam uses both formulations. Perhaps you can say it a little differently, but I think along very similar lines. The term yediya is appropriate with respect to something that can be proven. As we noted, the Rambam writes that God's existence can be proven, and in fact, that's exactly what he does. The term emuna refers to something that can't be proven. Now, that doesn't mean to say that it's not true, nor is it even certain, but it can't be proven. Lamashal, God's existence is something that could be proven. We mentioned last semester that the Rambam writes that Vriyas Ha'olam Yesh Me'ayin, while true, can't be proven. The Rambam tells you why he thinks it's correct, but he thinks it's not provable. The Rambam, for example, discusses in the eighth parak of Yesodei HaTorah why it is that we believe in Torah Misinai. Rambam famously explains it's not because of the Osos or Mofsim that we saw at Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather it's the experience of revelation. Einenu Ros, Velozar, etc. We'll return to that Rambam. But the point is, our knowledge of Torah Misinai is not through proof. I can't offer a philosophical proof to you that Matan Torah took place. Klal Yisrael, at the generation of Matan Torah, experienced it, which gave them certain knowledge, even a knowledge that goes beyond the certainty of Nisim. And we know it because it was passed down and transmitted towards us, to us. But it's not something that could be proven. Now, I think that the Rambam consistently uses the term yediya, and I'll try to show you some further evidence of this shortly, with respect to things that can be proven. Whereas the term emuna, faith, is used with respect to things that we believe, though we can't prove them in at least the formal sense of a logical proof. Now, that doesn't mean to say that our belief in the Torah's veracity of Torah Misinai is irrational. Quite the opposite. The Rambam maintains that the Torah only asks of us to do and to act rationally. And the Rambam shows that it's highly rational to believe in Matan Torah. However, our knowledge is based off of tradition and the like, as opposed to being knowledge which is firsthand or direct knowledge about which the term yediyah is appropriate. Let me just give you a mashal. There are certain things that could be proven. God's existence, according to the Rambam. If you study philosophy, there are proofs for all sorts of things. Okay, so let's say I tell you George Washington existed. Can I prove that? No, I can't prove it. Is it highly rational to believe that it is true? Yes. Even though it can't be philosophically proven, one can be certain, based off of the plethora of evidence, that documents his existence. So just because it can't be proven doesn't mean that it's not rational to believe that it is true. And likewise, the Rambam says that there are certain things that we could prove. Perhaps the first four of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna can be proven, whereas the subsequent nine, we know, but we believe. We are mamin. We're mamin be'emuna shalema. And that belief is certainly rational, but it's not yediyah. Instead, it's emuna, because these things can't be proven. Now, I'd like to take a moment since, yeah.
That means your belief in George Washington's existence is emuna also?
In a sense, yeah. If you were to use the terms precisely, you wouldn't say, I know that George Washington existed. You would say, I believe that George Washington existed. Now, obviously, we don't usually use those terms precisely, but there's a slightly different connotation to the two words. Now, I'd like to... Yeah?
So what was first over the Hamon Am, which is not necessarily also the philosophical proof, doesn't have the capacity to...
Mm-hmm.
So, and even those that do, and they're still not, you know, mm-hmm. have the capacity to... So it's all the Hamon Am anyway. Meaning...
Okay. Correct. And...
In that sense, because the philosophical proofs people can... Because there could be creative discussion, the belief of Emunah is really more profound than that of the... No?
I'd like to talk about that particular point, but I want to give one or two hakdamos first in the way the Rambam understands the function of and the role of proof, and then we'll return to that question, and especially we'll talk about the question of whether proof is still possible today, in the way that it was in medieval times. So let's take a moment to talk about the importance of proof. Many Jewish thinkers, not just the Rambam, argued in favor of seeking proof for the existence of God, at least for those that are capable of doing so. Rabbeinu Bachya, in the Chovos Halvavos, writes that it would show a lack of zeal for anyone to rely on tradition who could obtain certainty by means of rational belief. So in the Chovos Halvavos, in Shar HaYichud, he offers philosophical proofs for the existence of God. In Shar Bechina, he shows how we could see God through looking at the world. And he concludes that this is the proper way for those capable of it to come to belief. This is the view of the Sefer HaChinuch as well. He also, like the Ramban, uses the terms emuna and yediyah, and he also says that ideally one should seek proof, at least if they have the kelim. The Rambam writes that this is how Avram Avinu came to an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at page 2 towards the bottom from Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Upshat davar pasha davar zeh b'chol ha'olam lavodes atzuros ha'be'avodos mishunos zumi zu ulahakriv lahem uleshtachavos. The Rambam had previously explained the evolution of idolatry, how it was that idolatry could have emerged from a world where initially everybody did know of the existence of God. The Rambam writes that the belief in idolatry had spread. The kevan she'archu hayamim nishtakach Hashem hanichbad vanora mipi kol hayikum, to the point where God's existence was essentially forgotten. Umidatam velo hikiruhu v'nimtzu kol am haaretz hanashim v'aktanim enam yodim el hatzura shel eitz v'shel even v'ahechal shel avanim she nischanchu mikatnusam l'shtachavos la ul'avda ul'hishava bishma. V'achachamim shehayu bahem kigon kohanim v'kiyotei bahen midamin she'en sham eloha ela hakochavim v'agalgalim shenasu atzuros ha'elu b'glalam uledamoso avaltura ulamim lo yashum adam shayamakiro v'lo yod'o ela yechidim ba'olam kigon chanoch u'mesushalach noach shem v'aver v'al derech ze haya olam holech u'mesgalgel ad shenolad amudo shel olam v'hu avam avinu. So the world was one in which idolatry proliferated, only a handful of Yechidim knew of God's existence until the birth of Avram Avinu. Kevan shenigmal etan zeh, hischil shotet bida'ato. V'hu katan, v'hischil lachshov bayom uvalayla. When Avram Avinu was weaned, he began to think, to question. And though he was young, he wondered, v'haya tamea, he'ach efshar she'ya galgal hazeh noheg tamid, v'lo ye lo manhig, v'lo umi she'yisavev oso. How could there be movement if there wasn't a manhig? This is the basic cosmological proof for the existence of God, the spinning of the spheres, or again, in our terminology, the fact that anything exists, that there's existence, that there's motion, that there's movement, that there's energy, is impossible if there wasn't some type of primary cause. This is, as we noted, one of Rambam's four proofs, stated very much bekitzer. And this is what caused Avram Avinu to begin to wonder, to question this idolatrous belief that was rampant in his world. Ki yashar she'yisavev es atzmo. V'lo haya lo milamed, v'lo modia davar. Avram Avinu had no teacher, nobody taught him this. Ela mushka be'or kazdim, bein ovdei kochavim hatipshim. V'aviv v'imo v'chol ha'am ovdei kochavim. V'u oveid imahem. It's fascinating. Rambam writes that Avram Avinu was an idolater. Hu haya oveid imahem. It's true. From a young age he began to think, to question, to wonder. But the Rambam describes a transition, a path that Avram Avinu went through. So Avram Avinu also went to church with his parents, Kilu. That's might be what we mean when we say in the Haggadah, Mitchila ovde avodazara hayu avosenu. Avosenu doesn't just mean tarach. Avosenu was Avram Avinu. He started off as an oved avodazara. But he questioned, he thought, and the like. V'yeda sheyesham Eloha echad v'hu manhiga galgal v'hu bara hakol. Here the word Rambam does use the word bara, by the way. V'ein b'kol hanimtza eloka chutz mimenu. So all of that, which we basically read in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Avram Avinu discovered on his own by asking these questions. How could there be existence without a creator? V'yada shekol ha'olam to'im v'davar shegaram lahem lit'os zeh she'ovdim es ha'kochavim v'es ha'tzuros ad she'avad ha'emes midatam. Uven arba'im shana ikir Avraham es baro. So this process began when he was weaned as a young child, his questioning, his searching, and at the age of 40, he came to certainty about God's existence and his nature. This is how Rambam resolves the various midrashim as to when it was that Avram Avinu Ki'ilu discovered God. It was a process. Kevan Shehikir V'yada Hischil La'ashiv Tshuvos Al-Bnei Orkazdim V'Laroch Imahem V'Lomar She'en Zu Derech Ha'emes She'atem Holchim Ba. Unlike the other Yechidim who existed, who knew of God's existence but essentially kept it to themselves, Avram Avinu A discovered it independently, and B, once he did discover it, began to spread that message, began to spread that truth, to argue, to debate, and to teach the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Where does Rambam get this idea that Avram Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this cosmological proof? So, among other things, it's a Medrash, Bereishis Rabba. You can see it on page 3. Amar Reb Yitzchak, Mashal le'echad shaya over mimakom lemakom. V'ra bira dolaka, achas dolakas. Amar, tomer shabira zu below manig. A mashal of a person who was traveling from place to place. Why is that important, by the way? Why doesn't it just say, Mashal, a person who saw a burning house and asked, etc. Why does it say he was holech lemakom, mimakom lemakom? So I heard from my rabbi, Rav Aaron Lapiansky, that he thinks that is a reflection of Avram's journey. As we saw in the Rambam, it was a long process. So he was going from place to place, and he sees a bira dolakas, that could be translated either as an illuminated palace, or it was on fire. I think there's actually a different lesson depending on how you translate it, but we'll leave that for now. So he said, Amar, Tomer Shabira below Manig. Could it be that there's no Manig? So, first of all, I think the usage of the word Manig is very significant. You see it both in the Rambam and in the Medrash, right? What does the Medrash say? Avram Avinu said, Tomar Birazu below Manhig. And what was the Rambam's formulation? Also, E.F. Shar, that there could be a Sovev without a Manhig. So he discovered that there's a Manhig. Manhig is important because it's not just that there's a God that exists in heavens, removed, separate, unconnected to the world, but there's a Manhig, who's manhig the world. And that's why it's a bira dolakas, right? It's not just that he saw a palace and he said, oh, if there's a palace, there must have been a builder. So if there's a world, there must be a god. No, there's a manhig. The bira's dolakas. It's lit up, or it's on fire. And then the Medrash continues with a very important point. We'll return to this diuk when we get to the Kuzari, that the Medrash doesn't just stop here, but hates itself of Baal Habira. Amar lo, ani hu Baal Habira. First, Avram Avinu discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu when 340, 3240, and the like. But after he discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu through thought, through philosophy, through proof, through contemplation, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks to him. That was later. When is the first Nevuah? Lech Lecha. He was 70, 75 maybe. But eventually hates it's a love Baal Habira. Amar lo, ani hu Baal Habira. Kach lefi shaya Avram Avinu Omer Tomer she'olam below manhig hits it's a love HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar lo, ani hu Baal Ha'olam. The Rambam writes that Yeshayahu also offers this type of proof to the people when he tells them things like Se'u marom einechem ure'u mivara eila. What was Yeshayahu telling Klal Yisrael? He's saying, look, Se'u marom einechem, look at the heavens, ure'u mivara eila. If you look at the world, if you look at the universe, if you look at the sun and the moon and the stars, you'll see mivara eila, there's a God and there's a creator. Now, even though the Rambam in this halacha refers to the value of proof to come to belief, like in the case of Avram Avinu. We also saw that Rambam believes in the value for someone who already believes, like in the mitzvah of Anochi. In fact, the Rambam writes a fascinating thing. The Rambam writes that let's say it this way. I mentioned before that the Bahag does not count Anochi as one of the mitzvos. Why? This is an interesting question. The Ramban explains one of the reasons is because the notion of having a commandment to believe is in a certain sense illogical. Because if I believe, then I already believe. There's no need for the commandment. And if I don't believe, then commanding me to believe is not going to make me believe. Part of the solution to that question might be, if you believe that part of the mitzvah is to prove or to look for proof or to strengthen your emunah, so then there is a ma'aseh mitzvah, something you can do. We'll return to that. But the Ramban brings a very interesting ha'ara on the Rambam. And that is like this. How does the Rambam know that Anochi is a mitzvah and should be counted as a mitzvah? So he brings a proof from the Gemara in Makos. You have it on your supplemental sheet on the right column. The Gemara asks, how do we know that there are Taryag mitzvos? There's no pasuk that says there's 613. Answer is from the pasuk Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Gematria is 611. So Moshe commanded us 611 mitzvos, but Anochi and Lo Yiyar Mepi Agvura Shmanum. So therefore, that's how you get to 613. 611 from Moshe and 613 from Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh. So the Rambam says, you see from here, that Anochi is counted as a mitzvah. The Gemara is explicit, right? Anochi is counted as a mitzvah. It's counted as one of the 613. Now, the Ramban says that if that's right, then you're wrong, Ramban. Because how many mitzvos are there in Anochi and Lo Yiyah? The Rambam counts five. So if you're going to say that that's the proof, so it shouldn't be two from HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the 613, it should be five. That's the kasha the Ramban asks. Just talk a good kasha. So what? The Rambam himself counts it as five from Anochi and Lo Yiyah. So what's the answer? So the Meshech Chochma is a beautiful, beautiful answer. He says, it's mamish meduyuk. Says you have to, the Meshech Chochma's general mahalich is that if you want to understand the Rambam properly in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Mitzvos, you also have to learn more Nevuchim. It's like the Ragachever as well. They both lived in Dvinsk. They were both very into this theory. And he says you have to look at what the Rambam writes in more Nevuchim about the nature of the first two Dibros. Now, we don't have time to explain this because we're nearly out of time, so I'm going to have to say it outside, but you can read it inside. It's on your source sheets on page 4, the Rambam from Mor Nevuchim. But the Rambam says like this. The Rambam writes that Anochi and Lo Yiyah, what does it mean they're Mepi HaGvura Shmanum, that we know them directly as opposed to through Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is because Anochi and Lo Yiyah, God's existence, his achdos, are things that we can know with proof. And therefore our knowledge of them is direct. The Rambam doesn't actually think that the words of the Asaras HaDivros were heard directly by the people Mipi HaGvura at Matan Torah. That would be impossible because nevuah is impossible for someone who's not at a madrega. You have to achieve a certain degree of spiritual perfection, intellectual perfection, character perfection, in order for nevuah to be possible. Now, I know what he says in Perek Chesed, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, maybe next time we'll go back to that question. But fundamentally, the Rambam says that what did we hear? We heard the kol, which was some type of undifferentiated sound. So we heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, as it were, but the words we didn't hear. So then he says, what does it mean when it says, Anochi en lo yer mepi agvura, shmanum? The same Gemara in Makos that he quotes in Sefer Mitzvos, he addresses in Mor Nevuchim, and he says very simple. The answer is that our knowledge of Anochi and Lohia is direct. Why? Because it's through a moface. It's through a proof. As opposed to our knowledge of the other 611 mitzvos, which are through an intermediary, through Moshe. How am I mekayim the mitzvah of Anochi? How do I know of the mitzvah of Anochi? It's not like tefillin. Tefillin I know because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu told me. But my knowledge of God's existence is like that of Moshe's, because it's direct. It's not that Moshe told me God exists. Klal Yisrael figured out that God exists, and therefore it's direct. And that's what's meant when it's mipi agvura as opposed to an intermediary. Ah! So if you say like that, then the Meshech Chachma points out, the Ramban's kasha is not a kasha at all. The Rambam is mamash l'shitaso. It's only Anochi and Lohia that are mipi agvura, not the specifics in the dibra of Lohia, because we didn't actually hear the dibra. Those words of Lohia is not what we heard, but the fundamental yesod of his existence as Achdos is something that we knew directly. Let's at least read a little bit from this Mor Nevuchim inside, page 4, and going on to 5, we'll read from where it's bolded. So at the top he says, Aval adibur is lemoshe levado, v'amar, skipping, kol dvarim atem shomim, v'lo amar dvarim atem shomim. He's medayik this yesod from the psukim. It doesn't say we heard dvarim, it says we heard kol dvarim. In other words, because we heard the kol. V'hu amram, and this is what Chazal mean when they say, Anochi v'lo yia mepi agvura shema'um. Rotzim b'zeh, shehem higiyu aleihem kimo shigiyah l'moshe Rabbeinu. Anochi to us was just like Anochi to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo haya Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom magiyem aleihem. V'zeh sheshtei elu ha-sharashim ratzalomar Metzius Akel Yisborach Ve'yoso Echad Amnam Yusag B'iyun Ha'enoshi V'chol Ma Sheyivada B'mofes. Mofes meaning to say a proof. Anything that could be known through proof. Mishpat Hanavi Bo U'mishpat Kol Mi Sheyeda'ehu Shaveh. The prophet and everybody else are on equal playing ground because we both know them directly. Ein Yisron, there is no Myla of the prophet. So that's how the Rambam understands Anochi and Lo Yem Piagura. And with this we see the importance of proof even for someone who already believes. Meaning to say that even if I already have Emuna Shlema of God's existence, let's say based off of tradition and Mesorah and the like, the Rambam says that there's still a fundamentally different character of my belief if it's something that I can prove. Because when I could prove it, so then my knowledge of God's existence is equivalent to that of a prophet. It's mipi agvura, as opposed to something that comes to us through an intermediary. Okay, so what we'll do, Be'ez Hashem, next week is we'll go through what the Rambam's proofs are, and Be'ez Hashem will also talk about those who disagree and think that Emuna should not be based off of proof, and also the role of proof and the possibility of proof Bizman Hazeh in the post-Kantian world, where the medieval proofs, at least as presented, seem to no longer be fully relevant. Okay, have a good Shabbos, everyone.